It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, season's greetings.
Season's now greetings. We're into the Thanksgiving season here this week. You know, I think you're the only person I've ever met who's actually done the fried turkey. You and your family do that. And you say that's a pretty good way to do it.
We go, not always, we won't do that this year, but we go back east to actually a brother-in-law of mine who is a brain surgeon at Johns Hopkins University. And so he uses a big syringe to inject these turkeys, and he looks very professional when he does it.
Okay.
He looks so comfortable. But yeah,
he deep fries them.
He deep fries. I think the last time we were there, we had four or five turkeys. I think he deep fried three.
That's a big family.
Or four, and did one in the oven. So different.
Which
kinds
one was
of spices.
Best?
You know, to tell you the truth, they all tasted
pretty much the same.
Yeah, but they were. So it's about 35 or upwards of 35 people there.
Big family get together, and that's kind of what you want to talk to us about this week: is getting along with family. The recipe for the joyful holiday season we are all looking for.
Yeah, you know, we struggle with holiday seasons. A lot of people, and I think that's because life doesn't come without grief. And these holiday seasons, since they're so family oriented, a lot of times they accentuate some of the griefs that we have because those griefs are almost invariably, I don't know if you can have grief without relationship. They're almost invariably about relationships. So I kind of want to reach out to people. This probably takes into consideration every single family that's listening to this radio show and everybody that they know. There's a recipe for joy, and I'm not going to try to put a Band-Aid on this, although it might seem like it, but just bear with me and follow me here. There's a recipe for joy. It's just like in baking. And
follow the recipe.
Do some of that.
My wife does all the baking.
Okay, she does all the baking. Uh-huh. I have permission to do a couple of things.
Okay, so you bake things. You bake like a cake.
With close supervision.
Okay.
I bake a pie. Yeah,
I think I've tried some desserts.
I've got a knockout cream brulee that I really do.
I'm coming to your house for Thanksgiving.
Oh boy.
Okay.
I'm just going to give people a hint here. I don't really use the heavy cream. I lighten it up a bit. So I use I might use whipping cream. It's not so much as a stiff custard. It's a little, if you like it, a little looser than that. And then I put a little bit, like when I'm making for four people, I put a teaspoon of limoncello in there, and I crush up cinnamon sticks and boil them in the milk and strain, or not boil them, but heat them in the milk and strain them too. So you have just a little hint of cinnamon and a little bit of
You need to put this recipe on your website.
Yeah.
Look for that at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay. Maybe I will.
You know, I put my turkey recipe on my website one time.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Oh.
For the, what is it? The brined turkey recipe.
Oh yeah, brine, sure.
Brine turkey recipe.
Yeah, so you have a way that you make the brine.
Yes. Okay.
So we could talk about cooking for a long time. I also do
obviously
crab
turkey
cakes
on the mind this week coming up here.
Yeah. So recipes, and if you don't follow the recipe, you cannot be assured of your anticipated outcome because it can go a lot of different ways, and I've done plenty of that kind of cooking. So now, joy, that's the joyful holiday. Joy is the fruit, or it's an outcome, or the result of the sort of fruit of the Spirit is the outcome of the Spirit, or the result of the Spirit. And that comes naturally from the law of God. So I want to try to tie these things together. I speak of laws that govern life. Laws that govern life reflect the nature of the life giver. Now, the reason I'm talking about laws that govern life is that what we want to try to do in this show is come up with a recipe for joy, and not just guesswork, but if we can, we want to come up with the actual law that governs joy. And so these laws that govern life, They result from the nature of the life giver. When we talk about the laws of God, we're not talking about some capricious thing. The law of God, it's not like earthly laws or governmental laws that are capricious or conceived. You know, our laws are designed to correct wrong, or we have a line down the middle of the road because people were hitting each other, and so we separate the traffic and right. So our laws are like they're maybe preventative and curative, I suppose, is
keep
the other.
Keep the peace.
Keep the peace, those kinds of things. But we're talking, the laws of God are more like laws of mathematics or laws of physics. They're like roughly like ironclad formulas. So if you get a wrong answer in a math calculation, you know that you have not followed the laws, the mathematical laws that pertain to that particular problem. Or if you have an unwanted or unexpected explosion in the chemistry lab, you know that you've not followed the laws of chemistry that govern that. If you toss a ball up in the air, you expect it to come down to the ground because it has to follow a law. So the laws of God never fail to bring their promised outcome. The laws of God are perfect. We look at Psalms 19. The law of God is perfect. And what does it do? It restores the soul. The testimony is sure, and it has to do with making wise the simple. The precepts are right. It restores the heart, the rejoicing heart. The commandments are pure. So there's no fault. If there were any fault in God's law, there could not be a universe, because God's law includes all of these things like mathematical laws, physical laws, all of those things are what they are by virtue of the nature of the lawgiver. Mm-hmm. That is his nature. I say nature is God's nature. A fundamental law of God is love. The Bible says God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is love. Another scripture says God is love. Whoever dwells in, I think this is in one of the books of John, God is love. Whoever dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. So this is a fundamental law, is the law of God. And Christ, we know, the Spirit of Christ is that law of God. Christ is the fulfillment of, God is love, that's his law, that's his nature. Christ is the fulfillment of that. Christ is the love of God, one person has said. Christ is the fulfillment of that law, the one sent out of love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's not another. So he's the fulfillment of all that. And scripture teaches that Christ has fulfilled the law. So Christ is the love of God and the fulfillment of the law. And agape fulfills the law. Then we read in Galatians that bearing one another's burdens fulfills the law. We read, Paul says in Romans 13, that all of these Ten Commandments about committing, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet, they're all summed up in the law. Christ said that himself when he was asked, what are the what are the most important laws? And he said, well, there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that contains all the law. So that is fundamentally the law of God that pertains to us, and Christ is the fulfilling of that law. In order to have joy, we have to fulfill the law that pertains to joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has to do with that law of God of love. And so a big part, if we can make the leap here, that fulfilling the law of God or practicing agape is part of the recipe for joy. So
joy in the family get-togethers. Okay, now you said all that. I understand. Christians buy into that. But getting back to the nitty-gritty of getting along with people at holiday get-togethers and a lot of people who aren't Christians. So how do you apply that then? So you have to, you're fighting with Uncle Fred about the current political scene or whatever. How do you show, you bring that agape into those situations?
So the value of this is that if it's in fact a law, it doesn't matter if it's being practiced by Christians or non-Christians. If it's a law that governs life, It's not contrived or conceived, or it's just part of the nature of God, and nature follows, or the laws that govern life follow the nature of the life giver. So even if a person, and people practice this all the time, non-Christians practice benevolence and things like that all the time, and they reap the benefits of it because that's the way life works. It's a law. It's a law, just like the law of gravity. And if we can recognize it as that, agape, or the love of God, is an functions as a law. The Bible says, Scripture says that perfect love casts out fear. And I think a lot of times we read that and think of it as, boy, I sure wish it would. Well, it does. I mean, it's an absolute law. The two can't be in the same place. Mm-hmm. It's not just true because the Bible says it. The Bible says it, in fact, because it's true. It's an absolute law that governs life. And so what we want to try to get to here is the idea that if I want to have a joyful holiday, there must be a law that governs how I receive joy. Again, we've connected joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, is the love of God, the agape of God. He fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. What law is that? The law of love. That's what he was saying to the people that questioned him about the law. The important law is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. If we did that, if we loved one another in those ways, we would have those fruits of the Spirit in our life. What I want to do when we come back is to connect some of these mental health diagnoses and some of these things that people also struggle with during the, in addition to grief, struggle with during the holidays, and how that this law that governs life and pertains to joy actually changes that part of the game as well.
Okay. Well, if you're heading into the holidays here, whether it's this coming Thanksgiving holiday or Christmas, of course, it does bring up a lot of emotion, a lot of family strife and struggles, and you want to have a better holiday season. This is a good time, and maybe you'll be coming through this season and you go, man, that was just a blowout Thanksgiving, and I just really am burnt out and sad by that. Daniel deals with all of these issues in his counseling practice. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. If you need to hear this broadcast again, there will be some points that maybe you didn't quite get or you want someone else to hear. These are all at BibleBasedCounselor.com in the podcast section. My practice is Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, well, we will be back with more of the recipe for a joyful holiday season with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel and I are talking about the holidays and keeping a sound mind. There's no other time of year that seems to challenge the sound mind than the holidays. Uh-huh. It's supposed to be a time of joy and festivities, but it just brings up a lot of hurt a lot of times for people. I've also heard that even this time of year is the number one time of year for suicide even. So there's a lot of pain, a lot of hurt this time of year, and we're kind of trying to help people have a better holiday season, have a better joy, a joyful holiday season. There's a certain recipe.
Yeah, and in the first part of the show, I hope that I did a good enough job of establishing that this idea of the joy that we want in the holiday season is actually attached to a law. So we can have joy. It's not just something that we kind of can, you know, wish for and miss out on. We actually can apply a law And that will be the result of it. So he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you know what fruit is? It's the outcome of a growth process. It just automatically appears on the tree through a certain process. So the fruit of the Spirit is something that automatically appears. It's by law, it's axiomatic. It appears in our life because of certain things, you know. So it's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. And so we look at what Christ, what do we mean by Christ? Well, one thing that Christ was the fulfillment of God's law. What law? Well, God is love. When we talk about the law of God, we're talking about the nature of God, not laws like we set up in government, but God's laws are not conceived in such a way to correct things, or like our governmental laws or our traffic laws. God's laws, that's just another way of saying God's nature. Mm. And we say that God hates divorce, or that God hates a lie. He doesn't hate in the way that we hate, where in our hatred, in our anger, there's always fear involved. In God's hatred or anger, there is no fear involved. And so we can't make the mistake of thinking that when the Bible says God hates, or God is wrathful towards something, that it's the same as our hatred or our wrath.
Because ours is selfish.
It's selfish and it's fear-based, and God's is not. So when it talks about, it's just the closest way we can get to describing God. It's a way of saying that somehow that's God's nature. That's the way God is, and he cannot be another way. And so the best way we can describe it is that he hates, or he just can't have anything to do with that.
Well, one thing you said in the first part of the show, too, that I thought was very insightful is this idea that these laws are universal, and even people who aren't Christians, if they follow these laws, are going to get some benefit, get some result.
Yeah, because nature... as it is, and the nature, our human nature, in a sense, responds to the way that the Creator created, and you know, God, the creation is an unfolding of God's nature in a way. Again, one of my favorite little mottos is or sayings is that nature is God's nature. And so we look at even the way that our brain works, and the way that our is in accordance with the natural laws of a creator, or the nature of the creator, the laws of the creator.
And Jesus set up those two laws. What are the two laws? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, maybe a non-Christian wouldn't do that, but a non-Christian would understand, do unto others as you would have the golden rule. That's a very powerful law that, again, works regardless of whether or not you're a Christian.
Yeah, because,
and you can always be fostering that in your family get-togethers. Mm-hmm. Everybody can buy into that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And kind of moving, you can be a catalyst to kind of move the family gathering toward that. A lot of fruit there, a lot of joy.
Yeah, and I want to just narrow this in, draw this into the individual who's, you know, we want to think of not just in terms of we could have, you know, the group could be joyful, but I'm also talking to individuals who are wondering, you know, how can I go through this season and have joy myself instead of some of these like sadness, insecurity, discouragement, anxiety, even boredom, irritability, anger. All of these are, in fact, rooted in fear and shame. So fear and shame. Fear. What do we fear? Well, you know, our mortal status fundamentally, but we don't go around really chewing that over or obsessed with that. But we do go around wondering if we have value, if we can control the things that are going to have an impact on us, or if we have resources. And even in these times, maybe particularly in these times of the holiday season, people question things like that. If they've lost a loved one, you know, the question of who am I now and my relationship, you know, am I going to function? How am I going to get through this time, with this loss? Has to do with value, has to do with control, things beyond my control, or what's in, you know, things that I can control. And so that's the fear base of it. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth, which also has to do with those kinds of things. Now, fear and shame and all of the various things that go with it, and as I mentioned earlier, really the majority of the mental health diagnosis. So we got people through the holidays that are struggling with depression, anxiety, bipolar, mood swings, and I'm thinking of so many others, obsessive compulsive kinds of things, and all the things that are related to fear and shame, where it's just almost all of them. They're largely characteristic of a self-focused life, a self-centered life. And when I don't mean to say that, I don't mean to be cruel when I say that. I'm not saying a selfish life, but a self-centered life. And that is something that is almost a default of our human nature, is to be self-centered. That is my frame of reference, my own welfare and my own well-being. I am self-centered. And so this fear and shame, as I say, are largely characteristic of that kind of a focus. And so agape, as we talked about in the first part of the show, is very outward-centered. It's serving other people. Now, fear and shame can't abide agape. They can't be in the same place. Now, that is a law. That's a fundamental law. That's like a mathematical law or a physical law. You can't be centered on yourself and centered on other people at the same time. If fear and shame are characteristic of a life that is self-centered, protective, defensive, then agape is
the opposite of that.
Is the opposite
Others
of that.
Focused.
Mm-hmm. Now we look at Christ fulfilling that law, and the nature of God is outward focused. God is always giving. God is always sacrificing. And what goes along with that is, of course, all the fruit of his Spirit, you know, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. So the brain works in accordance to the laws of the Creator, the nature of the Creator. And so, you know, a lot of these depression, anxiety, compulsiveness, unwanted thoughts, a lot of these things are brain habits. But the brain functions in accordance to certain laws. So these unwanted brain habits, whether they be depression, anxiety, irritability, or those kinds of things, they can't abide in the same space as agape or serving other people. You cannot possibly agape others. I use agape others as opposed to love others, because a lot of times we confuse this love with predominantly affection. But agape, we can serve people, and then the affection can come after the feeling. And that's kind of the challenge of the holiday, is that you might walk into the holiday season without the feelings of joy, but you will soon have them if you, instead of being self-centered on myself, if I center myself on other people, if I project goodwill toward other people, and I look to serve other people and meet their needs, the law governing joy says that it will follow that. It won't follow the self-centered life. It will follow the agape or the other-centered life. So you can't possibly agape others as we were designed to do, and experience emotions like anxiety, irritability, lack of confidence, loneliness, sadness, discouragement. So having a heart of agape is a real challenge, because our strong default is to protect ourselves and to look out for number one, even in a social setting, maybe predominantly often in a social setting. Mm-hmm. However, the law dictates that developing an agape outlook ensures us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, these kinds of things that we really desire through the holiday season and beyond.
Well, we want to keep that holiday cheer going into the new year, and this is a time of year. It is a challenge. We acknowledge that, but be others focused. That sounds like that's kind of the nutshell of what you're talking about today. Love others with that agape kind of love, that which doesn't come naturally. It has to come from God. Mm-hmm. That agape spirit. So we want that this holiday season. People need maybe to get prepared for the holidays, or if they first part of the new year, they didn't have a good holiday and they need some help. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I have an office in Kirkland. I have an office in Edmonds. And these podcasts are all at the BibleBasedCounselor.com website. And people also email me through that website.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Okay, always great stuff with the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.